Shalom and blessed be the name of Jesus. I want to invite ourselves in this year, the year of our Lord, the year of 2026. This is the year of double portion, double harvest. And it'd be good for us to keep understanding what God is saying to us. Welcome for this great journey. It will be a wonderful news. We will be able to get what we call divine instructions and divine communication from God. This is what we call the good news. The good news. And so we will be dealing with the good news for the prisoners, the good news for the captivity, for those in exile, for those under captivity. In the history of mankind, God's people have found themselves under captivity. People of God has found themselves in exile, in slavery, a place of limitations. Slavery, captivity, is a place of limitation, is a place where people don't eat what they want to eat, people don't wear what they want to wear, people don't walk where they want to walk, people have no freedom, people do not exercise their God-given will, because that will is manipulated or controlled by another. Although God's people have found themselves in such a situation, it has never been God's will for his people to be under captivity. God created man for domination. The purpose to why God created Adam and Eve is to dominate, not to be dominated. Because when he created, he said, and God blessed them and said, may you have dominion, may you have authority, may you have power, may you rule. God created us to rule on his behalf, with his power, with his anointing, not to be ruled by situation, by circumstances, by demons, and by systems of the world, by culture. God created us to be the head and not the tail. But that has not been the case. You find God's people who are always under captivity. Sometimes for almost all their times. I don't think it pleases God, because that was not his original state. And people have not been able to understand. And so, I want to welcome us into the book of Luke. Book of Luke that's going to help us how God can be able to set us free from this captivity. How did God execute to remove us from this captivity? How did he come? Why did God come as a baby? We will be surprised to understand that God, when he came to set us free, he came through the most unthinkable way, unthinkable situation. He did not come the way human people have always thought. For example, he never came as a king with pomp. He came as a baby. He never came through palace. He came through a manger, a stable where animals are fed. He never came through education. He came through an education. He never came through great people. He came through a maid, a young girl, a virgin who didn't know much. And so we invite ourselves into the book of Luke to understand the story of this great deliverer. He wants to deliver us from our captivity. I think that's the key thing. So the major theme will be God to deliver us from our captivity, and he is going to give us or to restore double. So I promise everyone that we go through this, that God will be able to deliver us from our captivity. And when he gets us from captivity, he will make sure that he releases or he gives us double what we have lost. And that is the promise that we are going to find in the book of Zechariah chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12. So let's look at something about the understanding this deliverer. And we will be able to discover that this deliverer has much has been written about him and by a man called Luke. So Luke is the one who's going to help us understand about this deliverer, Jesus, who is the perfect man, because Jesus came as a man to deliver men. That is the bottom line in the book of Luke. He came as a man. God transformed himself into a man. God metamorphosized himself into a man. God can do anything because he's suffering, so that he could deliver men that were under captivity. And he promised that he will be able to repay us double. Let's understand this book first. The book of Luke is a story or an account of the perfect man, Jesus. This book was written by a Greek man who was a doctor. He was a medical doctor called Luke, and he was writing to another Greek. He was a Greek, and he was writing to another Greek man who was in places of power called Theophilus. We do not know much about Theophilus, only that we know that he was an excellent man. He was an honorable man, because Luke says most excellent Theophilus. This book is a detailed discipleship manual, and it's meant to help Theophilus and all of us to answer the major questions or the main question that we keep asking. Who is the deliverer? Who is this deliverer? Where is he going to come from? How is he going to deliver? And you'll be able to answer all those questions. So we'll be answering this question: who do you say this deliverer is? Yourself. So Luke is giving this and is answering the question to Theophilus. The book of Luke is a follow-up account to help Theophilus and ourselves and all the readers confirm what we have already known. This book is not written as to people who might not have known much. Yes, they do not know much, but it's first written to people who have heard something about this deliverer, but they do not know who this deliverer is. Theophilus have heard about it, so he's giving a confirmation, and is making this to open the eyes of Theophilus and all of us to understand him better. So that once the eye of Theophilus, once the eyes of the reader and all of us are open, there will be the process of opening the eyes. And this is what we are going to happen. People will believe in Jesus as a perfect man. This is the end game. Four things. People and those people who have heard about him and they do not know about this deliverer, those that are in captivity, they will believe in him as a perfect man. Number two, they will want to belong to him and to his family. There's nothing as good as believing. Those are attitude that are there, the major attitudes, and you also want to belong, that attitude of belonging to him. I want to belong to him. Number three, you also want to become like him, because he has promised that he wants us to become like him. He wants to change our status. He wants to change us so that our image and our likeness will be like him. That's his promise. And so that after we believe in him and we belong to him and his family and we become like him, we'll also be able to bear fruit for him. The revelation about Jesus help us to overcome all those limitations and those captivity that has come because of not knowing who Jesus is, because we have refused or we have rejected this knowledge, and of it all we have forgotten, as Hosea 4:6 would be able to say. And by so doing, we hope that we'll be able to listen and obey the written and the spoken word about this deliverer. It's one thing for the deliverer to come, hoping to remove us from our captivity, and we don't get out of captivity because we have not believed in him. So this book is about exposing and all that. So in this first session, we want to just look briefly about how this deliverer was introduced. Who introduced this deliverer? Who introduced Jesus Christ? Who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ? And we want to understand how this was foretold. The forerunner, the one that was supposed to go ahead of him, because this deliverer came, and somebody was promised in the Old Testament how he would go and become a forerunner, become a herald, become the one who goes ahead to talk about him. And his name is John. So we want to briefly understand about John. We want to understand about John, how John came so that he can be able to go ahead and speak about that. So let's just read those a portion of scripture about these, especially about the birth of John. This in the Bible says in Luke 1 and verses 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's command and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and were both very old. You're getting the description of the family of this man called John, who would become a forerunner of Jesus. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priest to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. I wanted to see those people. The worshippers were outside. Only one man was allowed to go on their behalf. That's why we are looking for this deliverer who would release people from outside, from praying from outside, from worshippers being outside, so that they can be able to go in and dine with God. But let's understand how the situation was. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of God. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. This is what this man was to do. And he'll go on before the Lord in the spirit of and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for God. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." The angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my word, which will come to true at the appointed times." Now, that's great reading, but the key thing that I wanted us to capture here, the number one thing I wanted to capture, is the background and the description of the man that was supposed to become the herald of the great deliverer. He was not the great deliverer. John the Baptist was not the great deliverer. Jesus was. But because it was promised that those that are in the valley of the shadow of death, they will be turned back to God. Worshippers who are outside will be brought inside. We get the description of John the Baptist, and we will be able to get more, and we'll be able to look deeper about the things we have just read about John the Baptist. But one few things that we have received is that he received the Holy Spirit even before birth. Now, I want you to realize that John, as we talk about him as a forerunner of the deliverer of our lives, Jesus is setting us from captivity. But there's a man who is going to introduce him. But this man, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And look at some other roles, because it is the Holy Spirit who does the work, not John. Holy Spirit is looking for human flesh, because God has always looked for men with flesh and blood and used them to an incarnate in them so that he can be able to work here on earth. But this John, we're told, he'll bring back the people of Israel to the Lord God Almighty. You see, there's a bringing people to God, and there is a spirit. You go with the spirit of Elijah and the power of Elijah. He will be able to turn the hearts of parents to their children. What does that tell you? There's a problem in the family. There's a problem in the church. There's a problem in the society. Those disobedient, they'll be brought back to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, because of reminding us that you are coming even to deliver us and set us free from the captivity of the enemy, in Jesus' name.